Greetings, Liddell. This is Bob Rouse, your host to the Grace Radio series, Voices. This adventure in programming for Grace Radio focuses on the voices of our neighbors here in Slidell about matters of community interest. And our guest today is Mr. Gary LeBlanc. Gary is the founder and director of a ministry called Strengthen Your Brothers, dealing with sexual addiction and pornography, a subject that we probably need to hear more about. So welcome, Gary. Glad you're here.
Thank you, Bob. How you doing, man?
I'm good. Tell us a little bit about your ministry.
All right. Well, I have a ministry called Strengthen Your Brothers, where I basically lead small groups in the New Orleans area for guys who struggle with pornography and sexual addiction. And I also like to raise awareness about the problem of pornography in the church by speaking at churches and different Christian functions and events. I also have an online program, a recovery program for sexual addiction, where I basically work with guys totally online through the internet, where that way it's accessible and anonymous. If people don't want to come into an actual group in person, then they have that option to get the help online they need.
This is a real niche ministry, you might say. It's not one that everybody's clamoring to get into. How did you get into it?
It really all started with my own addiction to pornography and sexual addiction in general, which started really early on. Actually, I was abused when I was a child by a family member, which kind of opened the door to sexual addiction for me very early on.
Sorry to hear that.
But the Lord, you know, he uses all these things for his glory and to help other people. So it's definitely something that, even though it's damaging, I'm grateful for everything that I've been through in my life, because now I can, you know, reach and connect with so many other people who've been through similar things. But it kind of went from there to when I was about 7 years old, I received a magazine, pornographic magazine, from a friend in the neighborhood.
Oh, wow. Seven.
7 years old. And that's actually not an early age. Nowadays, it's even earlier than that. So
really?
Yeah. The first exposure to pornography can be even earlier. That first experience, you know, it was really wrong. And I felt like that it was very nasty and wrong, and I shouldn't be doing this. I felt guilty about it. But at the same time, it was very alluring and powerful.
Yeah.
And it drew me in. And this began a developing addiction to pornography, you know, where I was seeking out other magazines and eventually, of course, you know, discovered myself and began to engage in other sexual acts. This really developed into a serious addiction by the time I was a teenager. And as soon as I was 15, my family got their first computer, and we had AOL dial-up internet, and that basically launched my sexual addiction to a whole new level.
Wow.
And that was basically like inviting a heroin dealer into my house. The addiction basically took on such a new level that I was not ready for that, especially at that age. As time progressed, it just got worse and worse, to the point where I was viewing pornography and acting out all night long, every day. This went on for years.
But you knew even at the age of seven that this was wrong.
I did.
That this was not God's best for you, we'll say. But yet the addiction was there, the draw was there, even starting at seven, and now we're in your teenage years.
Definitely. And the Lord showed up in my life when I was 15 years old. It was 1997. And basically everything that I had an issue with previously, I was also involved with, you know, kind of like sex, drugs, rock and roll, the whole scene, partying and using drugs, trying to get with as many women as I could and playing rock and roll. I played drums. So I was in a rock and roll band. And this went on, you know, during my early teenage years. But when I encountered the Lord, all these things just fell away. And I didn't have any issue with anything anymore except for that one thing. Could not shake this pornography thing and this sexual addiction. It was still there. And I struggled with it, you know, throughout my early years as a believer, and just tormented by the fact, like, how can I still do this? You know, like, I love the Lord and I want to serve him. And I was actually in the ministry early on, you know, playing drums for the worship team. I was sharing my testimony, eventually went to Bible college and became a youth pastor. But simultaneous to all of these things happening, there was this underlying addiction there the whole time.
Wow.
In the secret, in the dark.
So this was a major conflict in your life. You knew it was wrong from the age of seven, but then when you found the Lord at 15, it really became a conflict in you, in even questioning, how can I do this while I'm trying to do that?
Exactly. I kind of felt like that scripture where Paul talks about, you know, the things that I want to do, I don't do, and the things that I hate, I wind up doing, you know, in that internal struggle with the flesh, you know, the spirit man versus the carnal man. And I really experienced that for many years. Actually, it was about 23 years altogether that I struggled with sexual addiction, and was never able to get free on my own. You know, I kept it hidden. It was very embarrassing and shameful. So, of course, I didn't want to talk about it to other people, and sure, kept it to myself and just tried to kind of white knuckle it, as they say, and just try harder, pray harder, read books on it, and just try to stay away from situations that could get me into trouble, and just kind of keep it on my own and try to handle it myself. And I found out the hard way that that doesn't really work too well.
So this was a problem. You recognize it as a problem. You struggle on your own, like, as I say, going cold turkey type stuff. I can overcome this, but yet you didn't. So what changed to make it possible for you to overcome it? Not to tolerate it, not to become desensitized to it, but I'm assuming you say overcome it like it's not a problem anymore.
Yes, definitely. Well, the first step in the 12-step program is to basically recognize you're powerless on your own. You can't fight this fight by yourself. You need God and others and recovery. So really, I didn't want to do that, honestly, because just the shame and the embarrassment. So I kept this to myself, trying to hold on as long as I could on my own to do this, just hoping that eventually I would, you know, I'd wear this thing out. But instead of me getting a grip on it, you know, it strangled me down and had me at my lowest point. I actually had a huge fall and lost my ministry had a huge public fall and lost my ministry as a youth pastor. And basically my reputation as a believer was destroyed, lost many friends. It disrupted my family. A lot of destruction and chaos came from me trying to hold this in by myself. So
that was the triggering event that,
yes,
brought you to a new place of working at this.
Definitely. That was the rock bottom experience, as they say, in recovery. And it kind of, this crisis can be a springboard to action and to people into that first step. So that's basically what happened with me. I realized this was an issue and definitely could not keep this to myself anymore, because it was out. You know, if I wasn't going to expose it, God was going to expose it.
Wow.
Just like the scripture says, you know, everything that is done in the secret and the dark will be brought into the light. And I can attest to that 100%. And I'm glad he did, because who knows if I would have ever reached out if it wouldn't have been for that rock bottom experience. So I'm very grateful for that. As humiliating and embarrassing as it was, the pain that I went through just over the next few years after that was the worst thing I've ever been through in my whole life, for sure. Still feeling the effects of some of those things. But there is healing, you know, and God, he used that to get me in recovery. And eventually I found a good faith-based recovery group that specifically deals with pornography and sexual addiction for Christian men. I started going to this recovery group, and they basically taught me the principles of recovery that I needed with the 12-step program to be able to, you know, overcome this addiction. And I had a good friend who guided me through this process, and I relied heavily on prayer, the scripture reading, going to church, memorizing scriptures, daily surrendering this addiction to God, and just relying on his grace every day, one day at a time, to overcome this. And it's not something that, you know, can be fixed very quickly. Unfortunately, with an addiction, with any addiction, whether it's alcohol or drugs or sex or porn, you know, this takes some time. And with the sexual addiction research that has been done by neuroscientists and psychologists, basically the average person in recovery, it takes about 3 to 5 years to overcome a strong, serious sexual porn addiction. So this is not a quick fix, as much as we would love it to be a little, you know, 90-day program or just say this prayer and you're going to be miraculously healed. I mean, God can do anything, and he certainly can if he wants to. But the normal way that he uses is recovery, and it does take about 3 to 5 years to completely heal from sexual addiction. Now, you always have certain struggles as a man, regardless whether you're a sex addict or not, just living in a hyper-sexualized society that we live in, and then being wired sexually and visually the way men are in this world, struggling with the flesh. I mean, we always have to keep our guard up, and we always have to stay accountable and rely on God's grace every day through prayer. So that's something that's going to continue, you know, until your last breath. But as far as initial addiction recovery, it does take about 3 to 5 years. So it's not an easy process.
And then after this 3 to 5 year program, the unsatisfied appetite is reduced, could I say it that way, or eliminated? Like you say, there's we all have triggers, and something can trigger a thought or an emotion at any time, whether it's drugs or any other addiction, that, as we're talking this morning. We can understand that there is hope on the other end, that the uncontrollable urge, the uncontrollable addiction can be conquered.
Definitely. There's definitely hope. You know, in God, you can 100% through Christ, you can be free from this. It, like I said, I mean, you know, you're always as a man. This is every man's battle. This is like the book of James says, you know, there's no temptation that's been given to you that's not common to all men. You know, I mean, this type of temptation, this type of struggle against lust in general is something that every man, whether you're an addict or not, struggles with and is probably always going to have to keep their guard up, like I said. But addiction on that level, definitely there's hope to be free from that. But it does take some time. It does take work. And this 3 to 5 year process, you know, it kind of comes in stages. The first 90 days or so of the program is basically you're resetting your dopamine reward system in your brain, your pleasure reward system that rewards you for behaviors that are keeping you basically for survival, like food, sex, these things that keep you surviving and pass on your genes. So this is wired into the brain to, by the Lord, program you to survive. So this is something you're fighting against a very strong, powerful system in your brain. And to reset this dopamine system, it's kind of like the pleasure thermostat in your brain, so to speak. It takes about 90 days so of abstinence. So this is what sometimes people refer to as a reboot, you know, where there's no sex with self or with wife or with anybody. It's a complete dry period of abstinence for about 90 days. And this will reset the dopamine system in the brain, kind of giving you that head start that you need to continue with recovery. And that's probably the most difficult part. Say we lose a lot of people in those first 90 days. Some people will fall off the wagon at that point or just, you know, give up on recovery thinking it's hopeless or it's too hard. But if you continue on and you get over that hump, a lot of other healing begins to take place after that. Then you can work on other things like finding out, you know, the root causes of the addiction for yourself. You know, like, what are these things that you're trying to deal with, that you're trying to cope with, and using porn or sex as a medication? So you find the root, and then you deal with these things with God and with another person through recovery. So then you can, you know, you can work on these other things and learn recovery principles that will help you to deal with issues from the past, but also how to deal with current issues and issues that will develop in the future. So you'll have a healthy understanding of how to deal with things in life as they come up, instead of having to resort to some type of medication, so to speak, you know, whether it be drugs, alcohol, or sex. And then after you deal over the first year in general with, you know, the 12-step program, which is uncovering these things and learning how to deal with them, then, you know, the brain starts to rewire and you make new connections, healthy connections to happiness, you know, through prayer and exercise, family life, community, helping other people. Service work is a really critical thing. Find new hobbies. All these things build new neuropathways in the brain, which enable you to experience a healthier form of dopamine and a healthier form of happiness in your life. So,
let me ask you this. It deals with addiction in general. If someone had not passed on a piece of pornography to you when you were 7 years old, do you think this would have happened anyway? You know, we talked about the way we're wired, the dopamine and things like this, and do you think it might have popped up anyway? It just that was your entrance to it, and I guess the reason I say that is that, first of all, what do you think?
Yeah, I think honestly, most probably, even if that kid back in my neighborhood when I was 7 years old never passed that into my hands, I really believe 100% that I would have been exposed to it regardless. I mean, nowadays, with the internet and with, you know, the high-speed internet, the access to pornography that we have, even from our smartphones, I mean, it's everywhere. Even if you look at a billboard or the magazine aisle, you know, you go in to check out and the magazines there are just very alluring and lustful. So I think, like, I would have definitely been exposed to it regardless. If it wouldn't have been 7, it would have been later. And I would have had to deal with this at one point. And many people do, you know.
And the reason I guess I say that is that in Christ we become a new creation. Following that admonition that each one of us is in some way, I use the word handicapped sometimes, that everybody is handicapped in some way. There's some part of our gene structure or makeup that's just not what we want it to be. It's not what society wants it to be. And that we all, as Christians, or as human beings, need to guard ourselves against things that will pull us down and create this conflict and this tension inside of ourselves that destroys a quality of life for us. You can't, I don't see how you, with that conflict that you describe, I don't see how you could enjoy life. You know, stuff happens. So we all need to deal with these handicaps, these addictions, these predispositions towards in some ways. Do you find any truth in any of that?
Yeah, I mean, definitely with the handicaps that, you know, that we come with, you know, into this world with, and also the society that we live in, even if, you know, you had no handicaps, just being born into this day and age, in this society, this culture that we live in, like I said, it's a hyper-sexualized culture, so it's all around you. So we need to take more of a preventative approach and have something in place, a guard, a protection. We need to keep our hearts guarded, you know, because we live in this hyper-sexualized society, and everywhere you look, you turn on the TV, the radio, everywhere, it's all around you. So we need to be proactive in this and basically take the first step to keep ourselves and our children safe as well. And one really good way that you can do that is besides educating yourself on this issue and maybe reading a book or so, or, you know, just reading up on the issue itself, but also get a good filter or block or, you know, some kind of accountability software for the phone and for the computers and devices for your family, because for yourself and your family, because this is the way that it usually happens with an addiction, is it's always it. You can trace it back to this first exposure and to pornography. And pornography is so alluring and it's so addictive in nature. It's something that it doesn't take too much of it to create an addict. So we want to protect ourselves, but also our children from this by setting up filters and blocks for our phones and computers and devices, because the children nowadays, they say the first age of exposure to pornography currently is, some say, 8 to 11 years old. So this is really, really, really early. So that could be prevented by having... And it may not be prevented completely because, you know, I mean, kids go to school when they have friends, but at least you can do all that you can do within your power to keep them safe from these things, because, like I said, it doesn't take too much to get that ball rolling. So,
well, you said before that your shame in all of this kept you from reaching out. And I think maybe as parents, as guardians of the lives of impressionable young people, that we need to be aware that even though we don't see them acting out in a way, that it's very possible that these things are there. It would have seemed to me that the ability to communicate, the ability to reach out, because if you don't have an accountability person that you hold yourself accountable to, I'm not sure you could do what you do.
Yeah, definitely. That's really important. Accountability is one of the critical aspects of recovery. And like in my online program, as well as my ministry, you know, that I do locally here, we have accountability rooms. We have accountability calls that we make to one another just to keep each other in check. Even if it's just to reach out and say, hey, you know, I'm doing good today. No problems, you know, over here, praying for you guys, whatever. Just some kind of reach out and connection made to another person to keep yourself open, to keep yourself honest and vulnerable and accountable to another brother. And that's really, really critical in recovery. So we definitely do that daily in the program. So that's, accountability is a critical thing. Even if you're not involved in a program, just say you don't have this serious addiction, but you know you do. You want to keep yourself, you know, pure, and you want to walk with the Lord in a righteous fashion. You need to have accountability with another brother. You know, pick somebody in your church, pick a family member, somebody you look up to, somebody you trust. Definitely somebody that you trust, because safety is key. And in recovery,
I can see that,
and that's actually been proven through some studies and research done, that one of the critical things to be successful in recovery is to feel safe. So you definitely want to have a safe anonymous group. You want to have a safe, you know, guide, like a therapist or counselor or mentor, somebody that you can trust who's trained, and also with accountability, somebody that you trust as a person. You know.
Okay. So. Well, good. I think you've given me a much better and clearer understanding. On one hand, it's easy. I see it. It's in the other hand, it's appalling that our shame, guilt, keeps us from finding peace in any situation. That regardless of whether there's a predisposition towards any addiction, that is key for us to have someone. We want to be able to pray. We want to be able to ask God to help us. but often he sends people to be able to reach out to them at just the appropriate time. So communications, open, honest, and accountability to one another is really a key part of that.
Definitely. I kind of liken it when I talk to the guys about this and the different groups that I'm involved with. It's kind of like, you know, mold and mildew. You know, this stuff grows in the darkness, and we need to open it up and let the light hit this stuff and just be honest and open about everything.
Great analogy.
Accountability comes into play. Yeah. Critical. And I have some statistics I would like to share with you just concerning the issue of pornography, how huge of an epidemic this is. It's kind of like the black plague of our day, and yet at the same time, no one's talking about it. You know?
Yeah, help us with that.
So these are some statistics done by the Barna Group 2016, but also there's a few other studies involved in this, but it's a collection of statistics with pornography use that I have I'd like to share with you. Just to give you a glimpse of how huge this issue really is, the porn industry makes billions of dollars every year, and estimates show that it makes more money than the NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball combined.
Oh my goodness.
One out of every five searches on Google from a mobile phone is for porn. 35% of all internet downloads are related to pornography. 63% of adult men have looked at pornography while at work. And I see that all the time in recovery. Guys losing their jobs because they're crossing that line. You know, their addiction's taking them to that next level with tolerance. You know, there's a tolerance that gets built up, and people have to cross new lines and do more risky behaviors to get that same fix, so to speak.
Yeah.
And that's when people start acting out in public or doing, you know, sex crimes and things. And we see a lot of guys losing their careers, losing their families, and it all begins with something as simple as just a magazine or something, you know, very innocent, but this does escalate very quickly, so it's very damaging. 56% of all divorce involves one party having an obsession with porn.
Hmm.
A large amount of free porn comes from human trafficking and sex slavery, so every time you view it, you're contributing to slavery, whether you realize it or not. And this could be your daughter.
Mm.
Something to think about.
Yes, for sure.
One in every four Christian men admit to porn addiction. One in every four. And that's just, and this was back in 2016, so I would imagine it's probably even a little worse now. And that's just the men that admitted it. So imagine the Christian men, because of shame and embarrassment, are not admitting it. So I would say probably more like 50% from what I'm experiencing in the work in this area. So 87% of these men will never turn to anyone for help due to embarrassment and fear of coming out. And similar to what I experienced, you know, that shame and that embarrassment, which kept me in the dark for so long, for 23 years. Only 7% of churches even have ministry programs for strugglers with sexual addiction. One in every seven senior pastors admitted to using porn regularly. One in every three of those porn-using pastors believe that they might be addicted. One in every five youth pastors uses porn regularly. Half of those porn-using youth pastors believe that they are addicted. The same study showed that over 50,000 U.S. church leaders regularly use porn.
Mm.
I mean, the numbers are just...
It's appalling.
It's insane. The average age of first exposure to pornography is 8 to 11 years old. These statistics show, you know, just how huge of an issue that we're dealing with, man. We really got to be praying for this, and we've got to do everything within our power to try to fight this and put an opposition against this movement. And it's so critical right now. We're losing a lot of ministers. We're losing a lot of children. We're losing a lot of our men, and families are being torn apart. A lot of other things are the root of these other things a lot of times is sexual addiction, with divorce, abortion, all these other things.
Let me ask you this. I think you've adequately made the case that we have a problem, that it's a very difficult problem. It's one that's not going to go away just by blinking your eye, that there are steps that need to happen to make that happen. So what do I do now? I've heard you on the radio, but you've convinced me that there's hope and help. Where is it?
Well, definitely there's hope and there's help. There's lots of help, you know, whether it be in person, locally. They have 12-step groups, and a lot of faith-based 12-step recovery groups, especially here in the New Orleans area, in the Slidell area. We have Celebrate Recovery is a faith-based 12-step group that deals with any kind of hurt, habit, or hang-up. Doesn't have to necessarily be sexual addiction or porn addiction, but they do definitely offer that help there. And there's, I think, five or six in this area. Celebrate Recovery would be a good 12-step group to join. That's a Christian faith-based group. Another one is the My House Men's Group of the Archdiocese of New Orleans, which I've been a part of for about 5 years now, and really, really good group. Specifically deals with porn addiction for men within the Catholic Archdiocese of New Orleans. We also have Sexaholics Anonymous is kind of a branch off of Alcoholics Anonymous. They have a group out in Kenner that meets, and also in Baton Rouge and Biloxi. So do you have these groups that you can attend in person? They did the research into sexual addiction recovery in two separate studies, and they found they followed, I think, over 1,000 sex addicts for about 5 years, and they found that it took about 3 to 5 years for these guys to get, you know, clean off of everything. And the few things that came up that it really was necessary and critical to have these things to be able to get successful recovery. One of those things was a 12-step recovery group, believe it or not. So it's definitely very critical to be a part of a group, you know, and that's, and there's a lot of different reasons for that, different psychological factors and spiritual factors as well. But being a part of a group and being accountable and vulnerable to other guys in that safe setting to be able to share and encourage each other and have that accountability is really critical. So a 12-step recovery group, having a guide, a good guide that could be that could take form in a pastor, you know, if you want to meet with your local pastor, a priest, or a mentor, could be a good sponsor, a good therapist, a mentor, some guide that kind of guides you through this process of recovery, kind of keep you safe and to help you avoid pitfalls and to kind of be a bouncing board for ideas and things in recovery. Another thing would be feeling safe. You know, you got to feel safe with where you're at. You got to feel safe in your group, feel safe with the person you're being accountable to, safe with your guide. Safety is very critical, because if you don't feel safe, you're not going to be vulnerable and let down the walls, so to speak, around your heart and be open to get that healing you need. So you definitely need to feel safe. Another thing was, and this was actually the top of the list, believe it or not, was God. And that's obvious to me and you, but I mean, there's some people out there who would say, you know, well, you know, I don't need God. I just give me the science or whatever. But actually, the studies show that having a strong spiritual life, prayer, church going, Bible reading, that whole spiritual dimension of God and prayer was number one on the list of to be successfully recovered. That's what you need. You need God. With doing it without God, it's like you're trying to run a race, you know, with your hands tied behind your back and with one leg. I mean, it's just, you can't do it. So you need God. You need a good 12-step recovery group and a good guide, and you need to feel safe. And there's some things you can have that will help.
This sounds amazing, and it sounds difficult but doable.
Definitely.
Where's the door?
Now, if you guys out there listening do want to get help and you want to reach out, I have an online recovery program that you might be interested in called Strengthen Your Brothers Online Recovery Program. That would be something for people who don't want to necessarily do it in person. You might want to do it online and, you know, do it from your house, from your phone, computer.
But that's a good first step, because it protects your anonymity at the beginning. And as you start feeling the results of recovery, then you can kind of graduate to the accountability partners and stuff like that.
Definitely. That's the three A's, they call it, that usually get people hooked into porn is accessible, anonymous, and affordable. So a lot of the porn now is free. So, you know, it's of course, it doesn't cost any money. It's accessible. You can get it from your phone, computer, wherever you're at. And it's anonymous. No one has to know about it. You know, a lot of the stuff is going on at night. But so what I want to do is I created in my program a way to be able to get use those three A's to be able to get people out of porn addiction. So my program is affordable. You know, it's $99 a month, which according to, you know, compared to most programs is actually really, really cheap. So it's affordable. It's anonymous. No one has to know you're involved with it. You can do it from your bedroom, just like you would do porn from your bedroom. You know, you're in your bedroom at night, you can get help, and no one even has to know. And also anonymous. You know, this is something that it's accessible, it's affordable, and it's anonymous. Like I said, it's this thing, nobody knows you're involved with this except for God, you, and the guys in recovery. And of course, you would want to be open with your spouse about this.
But that's only the beginning.
That's only the beginning. And
it's not, I mean, you can't do this for 3 to 5 years and expect it all to work out. But if you want to stick your toe in the water and you want to see if there's any validity at all to the things that you said for me, the individual, this is the place to begin.
Definitely. And like I said, we do have the groups that are free, anonymous, 12-step groups locally, like Celebrate Recovery, the My House Men's Group, Sexaholics Anonymous. Okay. Those are steps that you can take. And definitely, I do want to give a little bit of advice on for your devices, like your phone, your computers, iPads, you want to get some kind of software, some kind of good filter or block. Covenant Eyes, I use Covenant Eyes. They're really, really good at blocking and also being accountable, where they take screenshots of everything you view on your computer and phone, and they email them a little blurred so it doesn't trigger the other person, but they do take these screenshots and send them through an email to an accountability partner that you set up through email. So that's really a good option. They also offer a block where it just blocks outright, like a filter. So there's different aspects. There's also Real Men Don't Porn that you can get from your phone. There's also Safe Eyes, and there's many of these Porn Blocker Plus, many of these different accountability softwares and filters that it's really critical. You could definitely start by doing that and educating yourself on this issue. And if you feel like you have a problem, reach out, get to a 12-step group. And if you want to reach me personally, my number is 985-640-7437. It's 985-640-7437. I also have an email, gleblancjr1@gmail.com. Or you can go to the website, which is www.strengthenyourbrothers.com.
Well, Gary, this has really been helpful talking with you today and really just opened my eyes to some things that typically stay in the dark. And I really appreciate you taking that. I appreciate your transparency and your openness. That in itself takes courage to do that. Even though you're recovered and you're well on your way to helping other people, but just the openness of it is amazing. And I thank you for that. You've been a real blessing to me and hopefully to our audience, and maybe to that one person that hears this and says, you know what? If Gary can do it, I can do it too.
Yeah, thanks for letting me share, man.
Amen. God bless you. And thank you, Slidell, for tuning in to Voices here on Grace Radio. We want to hear from you. Give us a call at 985-250-1037. You can leave a message, send a text. We want to hear from you. Encourage you to like us on Facebook, Grace Radio of Slidell, where you can also leave a comment about how much you enjoy listening to these interviews. But also, you can check on our website, www.graceradioofslidell.net. There you can make tax-deductible gifts to support the station. We really appreciate your financial help and support. And again, the number to call is 985-250-1037. Today's program has been hosted by myself, Bob Riles, and produced by Don Morales, your Grace Radio Voices team. Hope you enjoyed it. Well, that's it for now, friends. Join us again for Voices of Slidell daily at 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. and get the flow of God's grace here in Slidell.